from the South Point studio. The perfect blend of sports.
But I think the Niners are going to wear them down.
Detroit Pistons lost their 36 games.
Comedy.
See over under on that relationship lasting. I'm going to put mayo in the coffee.
Yes. I am beautiful.
And a whole lot of Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
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 Yeah. Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh.
Join Ryan McCormick.
That's at least 2 picks outside of our own in the first round next year.
For real.
And host Frank Nicotero.
I look at the clock, I go,
Watch Punchlines live at noon every weekday.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service. Bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Who is there for heroes or the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids in kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, t.org.
Horse racing fans, the Southern California Thoroughbred Racing Circuit is back in beautiful Orange County. It's the LA County Fair Summer Thoroughbred Meet at Los Alamitos, with 8 great days of racing starting on Saturday, June 22nd. First post, 1 p.m. Pacific. The opening day program will include the $100,000 Bertrando Stakes. Plus, the summer meet will include the running of the Los Alamitos Derby on Saturday, June 29th. We'll also have a holiday racing program on Thursday, 4th of July. Plus, we'll host our on-track handicapping contest on Saturday, July 6th. You could win a seat to the National Handicapping Championship in Las Vegas. Contest format and rules are available at losalamitos.com. The card will feature our biggest race of the meet, the $200,000 Great Lady M Stakes. And when the sun goes down, the fun continues with Night Racing's Best Bets, the Los Alamitos Early and Late Pick Fours, plus our traditional Pick Six. Daytime racing action is back at Los Alamitos. Opening day is Saturday, June 22nd.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
Live from the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
Alrighty, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program as we kick off another racing week, Las Vegas style, coming to you live and direct from your gaming capital right here at the South Point Studios and the South Point Studios streaming network at YouTube. We welcome you to the show right here from the South Point Hotel and Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard. and, of course, all of our other platforms and the ones we dearly needed a couple of days ago on Saturday when our YouTube connection had problems. And so you always have these other platforms that you can go to as well that simulcast this show. They include our radio station, our anchor radio station here in Las Vegas, Sports Talk 1400 AM and 107.1 FM, and, of course, all of our websites, RaceDayLasVegas.com, .vegas.world.global. We, of course, stream there as well. And, of course, we got your devices covered, your iPhones and your Androids with the apps. You can get the KSHP radio app at and put it on your phone at your app store. And, of course, you can get the YouTube app also at your app store. And you can see and listen to us as well via the YouTube streaming network as well. On your iPhone and your Android, and, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting, we're there as well. So welcome to the show, however, wherever, whenever you get us. Okay, the big news in horse racing this week is the weather and the elements of the weather. For example, you know we were going through an extreme heat warning and extreme heat here in Las Vegas. I could tell you it is a beautiful, beautiful morning out here this morning. We're 75 degrees right now, which is anywhere from 12 to 15 degrees lower than we usually are at this time in the morning. We're going to top out at 102, and the weather is going to be between, just a little over 100 to under 110 in the afternoons for the rest of foreseeable future here in Las Vegas. And I got to tell you, if you're listening here in Vegas, get out on the patio and listen. It's a beautiful morning out there, 75 degrees. But that's not the case now going through the country, because that heat pocket that we had that was looming over the southwest is now moving its way to the east, and they are going to have some blistering weather up on the east coast, up in the north, northeastern quadrant of the country. Today in New York, it's going to be 87 degrees, and it's going to get up there. They got excessive heat warnings going on all through the northeast. It's going to be really... when they get to temperatures of 87, 90, 95, it's like 110, 112, 115 here because they have high humidity as well. So the weather is going to be an issue as far as the heat is concerned in a lot of racing jurisdictions and how they operate and run the races, okay? And we'll get to that in a minute. Right now, the highest temperature in the country today is Phoenix, Arizona. It's 105. L.A. is 77. Etc. Miami is 87, and as we said, that heat pocket's going to go through the northeast. Right now, the only action anybody has is in the southern part of the coastline in the Gulf of Texas, and there's a hurricane that's supposed to be making its way through the lower part of the Gulf and through the middle of Mexico sometime this week. So that's not going to affect us that much. As far as the other weather is concerned, it really looks pretty good around the country. Few pockets here and there of rain, etc., but not as extreme as it was last week. Now, as far as today, some racetracks have already taken the steps to conduct the post times they're racing today a little bit earlier. Now, when we get to the racing menu, you'll see, I believe, the new post times. I'm going to give you the old post times in order and then reflect to the new post times as we got them. Delaware Park. On Saturday, this is Saturday, they've already decided to move the start time, the first post time, from 9:30 a.m. Pacific time to 8:30 a.m. Pacific time. That's on Saturday, Delaware Park, in anticipation of the extreme heat there in that part of the country. Woodbine, it goes as far as high as Woodbine, north of the border in Canada. At Woodbine tomorrow, their post time was at 1:50 p.m. Pacific time. They're going to move it back a little further to 3:05 p.m. Pacific time, which is 6:05 there when the sun starts setting. So they're going to move it up to 3:05 p.m. Pacific time tomorrow, and Delaware Park is going to move theirs down from 9:30 a.m. Pacific time to 8:30 Pacific time on Saturday. Those have already been set. Now, as far as today is concerned, on the racing menu, Finger Lakes and Presque Isle Downs have moved their post times from the scheduled post time, and again, anticipating for the heat, the extreme heat that's going on the East Coast. So right now, that's the way it is as far as the weather is concerned. It's going to be the heat more than anything else this week that may affect some of the racing centers around the country, and switching post times to accommodate the heat for that. Now, in another thing, the heat from fires is what's going on in New Mexico. Ruidoso Downs has two big wildfires going on around it, so much so that they're evacuating horses from Ruidoso Downs in New Mexico right now. So they got big wildfires going on there around the racetrack. I'm sure you saw some of the photos, some of the footage that's posted on the X website. But they're taking horses or evacuating horses out of Ruidoso Downs. Two different wildfires, but they're closing in on the perimeter of Ruidoso Downs there. So we wanted to keep you that in mind. Now, turning to racing, etc., and not so much in our country, but across the pond at England, you know we had Royal Ascot going on. Today, Royal Ascot's big race for an $847,000 purse is the Prince of Wales Stakes. It's a Breeders' Cup win-in-your-in race. It's the fourth race on the card today at Royal Ascot. It goes about 8:25 a.m. our time. So it'll be we won't be on the air. It'll be about a half an hour after we're off the air today. The big race, that's the big race at Royal Ascot today. But as far as the races happening yesterday at Royal Ascot, four of the seven races that were run yesterday on opening day at Royal Ascot were won by Irish Breds. The Queen Anne Stakes, grade one at a mile, was won by Charaine. Charaine, an Irish Bred there. And that, by the way, that was a Breeders' Cup win-in-your-in race. So she gets a spot in the Breeders' Cup if they want to come over. The Coventry Stakes at six furlongs was won by Rashabar, an Irish Bred horse. The King Charles the Third Stakes was won by Asfura, an Australian bred horse. And then you had the St. James Palace Stakes, won by Rosalion, an Irish bred horse. The Heritage Handicap was won by Pledge of Allegiance. The listed stakes of the sixth race won by Isra. And the listed stakes, the seventh and final race that day, was won by Belosio. Now, there were, as far as Ashfora and Charaine, Charlin is concerned, they have earned Breeders' Cup win-in-your-in spots in the Breeders' Cup if they want to. Now, today, of course, there'll be the other stakes races going on at Royal Ascot. You can watch all of this stuff on the FanDuel Racing Network, your cable racing network, the FanDuel Network. Comes on real early in the morning. As a matter of fact, it starts at 6 a.m. Pacific time here, 9 a.m. on the East Coast. And as I said, the big, big race of the day today is the big Prince of Wales Stakes. And that's going to be a goodie, that's for sure. I do believe in the Prince of Wales Stakes, we're going to have a showdown in that one. So it's going to be a great race, that's for sure. All right. Now, we have Jonathan Hardoon on the show today. He's going to be with us with maybe a little bit of a soapbox. I don't know. We'll wait and see. Jonathan, of course, will have a pick for us somewhere where he does the sheet, that's for sure. Rich Eng will be along with us, and so will John Lendo. John Lendo will give us a wrap-up of what happened at Santa Anita, for the finale there, et cetera. And, of course, as I say, Rich Eng will be along with us. Want to pass along our condolences in another sport, however, to the Say Hey Kid. Willie Mays passed away at 93. And boy, even if you were just a marginal baseball fan, you knew about Willie Mays. I'll wait and probably get a story or two from Rich Eng on him, but our condolences and our sympathies go out to his family, 93 years old. Say Hey Kid. All righty. As far as the week is concerned here, as you know, Los Alamitos will start on Saturday. Closing day, of course, was Sunday at Santa Anita. And we'll have Bob Mazursky on with us tomorrow to give us a preview of what's going to go on at Los Alamitos. This weekend at Los Al, on Saturday, they'll feature the Bertrando Stakes, a great stakes race there at Los Alamitos on Saturday. Canterbury Park has five stakes races, including the Canterbury Derby. Of course, a racetrack that we don't get here in Las Vegas, but nevertheless, Thistle Down will have five races on Saturday as well, including the Ohio Derby that drew a pretty good field in the Ohio Derby at Thistle Down. Churchill Downs will feature the Grade 3 Chicago Stakes there. And on Sunday, there's actually a Grade 1 stakes race in Japan that will produce Breeders' Cup winning your in horse there. And that, of course, is on Sunday in Japan. We got a lot to go on, so we're going to take our first break. And when we come back, we'll get your racing menu and get you started here in Las Vegas. And in horse racing, remember, today is the first official day of summer. Summertime is upon us. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Horse racing fans, the Southern California Thoroughbred Racing Circuit is back in beautiful Orange County. It's the L.A. County Fair Summer Thoroughbred Meet at Los Alamitos, with 8 great days of racing starting on Saturday, June 22nd. First post, 1 p.m. Pacific. The opening day program will include the $100,000 Bertrando Stakes. Plus, the summer meet will include the running of the Los Alamitos Derby on Saturday, June 29th. We'll also have a holiday racing program on Thursday, 4th of July. Plus, we'll host our on-track handicapping contest on Saturday, July 6th. You could win a seat to the National Handicapping Championship in Las Vegas. Contest format and rules are available at losalamitos.com. The card will feature our biggest race of the meet, the $200,000 Great Lady M Stakes. And when the sun goes down, the fun continues with Night Racing's Best Bets, the Los Alamitos Early and Late Pick Fours, plus our traditional Pick Six. Daytime racing action is back at Los Alamitos. Opening day is Saturday, June 22nd.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas, and as I say, the big stakes race, the Prince of Wales today at the Royal Ascot, and like I said, that race will go about a half an hour after our show is off today. Two horses that are going to battle in that race are two horses that won Breeders' Cup races last November at Santa Anita. They include, of course, August Rodin and Inspiral. Now, Inspiral, of course, won one of the stakes races on the grass, and so did Royal August Rodin. I'll get that right. Those two horses performed well and won their respective Breeders' Cup races in November out at Santa Anita, and they are going to clash today at Royal Ascot in the Prince of Wales Stakes, and that will be a goodie. And you know that that is a Breeders' Cup winning your in race, so whoever wins that one may be on their way back to Del Mar for the Breeders' Cup this year. All right, time to get started with the racing menu for today. And as I say, we'll do the post times. We're juggling the post times a little bit here. So here's your racing menu for today. Now, we begin the racing menu with Finger Lakes. Now, Finger Lakes had an original post time of 10:15 a.m. Pacific time, but is now back down to 8:15 due to the heat and the weather there in that part of the country. So Finger Lakes will start at 8:15 this morning, okay? And then coming up next will be Delaware Park. Delaware Park is second with a 9:30 first post time there. Then you got Belterra Park. Belterra Park will start at 9:35. Churchill Downs will kick in with their racing program at 9:45. Presque Isle Downs. Now, Presque Isle Downs had an original post time of 12 high noon, but they have backed that up to 10 o'clock this morning, 10 a.m. Pacific time for the opening, the first race at Presque Isle Downs. Do note that they're starting early. Then you got Horseshoe Indianapolis. Horseshoe Indianapolis will start at the 11:10 a.m. Louisiana Downs will have a first post time of 2:05, and Penn National's first post time will be at 2:45. And those are the post times for the... For the races today. They juggled it about, around a little, that's for sure. Now, Churchill Downs has a pick six jackpot carryover of $218,932. And we've also got Louisiana Downs. They have a carryover in their pick six jackpot of $86,471. Let's see, I believe that's about all of the racetracks on our... Well, Finger Lakes has a pick six carryover of $7,986 also. All right, and so those are some of the carryovers and the change of post times today in the menu. And there'll be more adjustments, I'm sure, throughout the week with the heat, the very excessive heat warning over that eastern part of the country, that's for sure. And all I can say, folks, is for those of you anywhere that you have an excessive heat warning, stay hydrated, stay hydrated, stay hydrated. Make sure you drink a lot of water. Keep the kids and the pets inside and check on the elderly. Okay? Will you do that? All right. Now let's go to Jonathan Hardoon standing by. Jonathan, are you bracing for the heat there?
It's terrible, Ralph. It is so hot. I went out 6 o'clock this morning, and it was already 80 degrees. You can't even breathe. I mean, you know, it's not like you where you get that dry heat. Here, it's disgusting. It's just horrible. And no one should be leaving the house today.
Yeah, you know, that is it. When we look at those temperatures, we say, well, that's not bad. But the temperatures, how they affect people is with when you get the humidity. And when the humidity gets high, even temperatures in the 90s become like, you know, 110 here. So, and you have to watch it with the high humidity, too. You're going to get dehydrated a lot quicker than you are in a drier part of the country.
It's just terrible. It's really, it's horrible. I mean, you can't breathe. You can't walk a block, really. You know, you shouldn't be outside. You really shouldn't. And I'm sure they're going to start canceling tracks. You remember last year we went through a little bit of a run like this where for about a month or so they were canceling racing. And they're speeding up post times. Yesterday at Parks, the horses went directly from the paddock to the starting gate. And that's how bad it was. And they ran the races. And thank God everything went smooth, no problems. But it was horrible. And by the way, Ralph, congratulations to Santa Anita because they got a terrific report as far as their safety is concerned. You know, they had an unbelievable meet as far as safety for the horses are. And people should be happy about that. But it looks like as good as it was, they're talking about going to synthetic, which would be a total disaster.
Well, now we know that Santa Anita had a long run at that particular facility, which means that the racetrack, the training track, and the turf course never did get a break. It started the day after Christmas on the 26th of December of last year. It wrapped up on Sunday, which was the 16th of June this year. So that was a long run, and they say they had a 99.7% safety record, the highest safety mark in the world, they say. Now, it's going to be adjusted between the meets, et cetera, but the overall is that whatever restrictions they're putting on there, as much as a lot of people sometimes complain about it and criticize it, seems to be working, and I guess that's the end result, that's for sure. And I guess they will take a long look at racing some of the races on the synthetic. My understanding is the racing on the synthetic will only come into play when they have those weather-related days with the rain or something that could cause a sloppy track, et cetera, moving it to the synthetic and off the turf into the synthetic as well. That's my understanding.
But if you remember, Ralph, Gulfstream started the same way. They started off with, well, we're going to put synthetic because we get a lot of rain, and when they take the races off the turf and move them to the dirt with all the rain, the fields are going to be scratched down to 3 and 4 horses. Well, that was a fine plan. The problem is, after about a year or two, they went to like half the races, were run on synthetic. So while you may have good intentions to start with, doesn't always work out that way. And running on synthetic has definitely hurt Gulfstream's handle.
As far as the betting public is concerned, you mean?
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if that will take as hold as far as conducting more synthetic tracks races than just the conditions that I talked about in Southern California, because the way that racetrack is configured, remember, Santa Anita's main oval, the dirt oval, is a mile oval. Then you have the turf course that's inside of that, which is about, you know, the 7 furlongs around. Then you get inside of that, and that's where the synthetic track is at. So that thing's going to have tighter turns, et cetera, than at Gulfstream, because remember, Gulfstream Park, it is not the outer racetrack is not just a flat mile. I think it's a mile and 16th, mile and 1/8, something like that.
Yeah, I think a mile and 16th.
Yeah, so you got a little bit more play going on with the innermost racetrack, the synthetic track there. And I got to tell you, I think the horsemen will accept running on synthetic when it's off racing, off tracks, because it's either race on the synthetic track or we're canceling the racing for that day. So that's the either or there. But I think they might have some concern and maybe some balking at running races on the synthetic just for the sake of running races on the synthetic track.
Well, the reason that I thought that they may use a synthetic was to attract more horses from Golden Gate Fields, because they ran on that all the time, you know. So they figured, well, maybe we'll get some of those horses to come down here, which could result in bigger fields, more races. But I don't have the answer, and I hope they figure it out and get it right.
Well, I will say this. If that is the underlying intent, even though they're not talking about it, this is just we're speculating here.
No, we're talking about it.
Yeah, but if that is the underlying intent, then they better write condition-wise the races that fit the conditions that were up at Golden Gate on that racetrack. In other words, you can't make the Southern California condition book for that and expect the Golden Gate horses to fit into that. If you're going to do that, you're going to have to do the conditions on the synthetic specifically for the conditions that prevailed for horses running at Golden Gate, I would think.
Yeah, well, it was just something that I thought, you know, well, maybe that was a reason. And you can make a little bit of a case for it. Don't get me wrong. You know, if they're going to get more horses to come down. So listen, Southern California's biggest problem is their population. They don't have inventory. Well, if they run two races a day on synthetic with the Golden Gate horses, not the worst idea in the world.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. I think that'll be it'll be an interesting dynamic to see what they're going to use and how they're going to use it. That's for sure. But a great safety.
By the way, Ralph, not as good as your idea running Wednesdays and Tuesdays for this. If you remember, you had that idea a few months ago.
Well, yeah, my idea was Wednesdays and Thursdays a Golden Gate type meet, and Friday through Sunday the other meet. We'll wait and see. You know. It's just, it's good fodder. It's good to conversation over a drink or two, but we'll wait and see about that. Linda Rice and Jose Lascano keep doing their thing over there at Belmont at Aqueduct. And, Riley Mott, I guess, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. Riley had a winner on, Sunday at Aqueduct, and, good old dad, Belmont, had a couple of winners on the same card.
Yeah, he's done a terrific job since he went out on his own. Started off a little slow, but business has certainly picked up, and he's gotten a lot of winners, and good for him. Does a terrific job, and like you said, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Linda Rice was actually cool for about a week or two, but she came back strong on Sunday. You can't keep her down because she doesn't send them out unless they're ready to run.
Her main man, Jose Lascano, produced the winner for her there, but Lascano went on and won two other races as well. Had a three-bagger on Sunday at Aqueduct. And lo and behold, nobody could put together the pick six. So you got a pick six carryover for, I believe, when does Aqueduct run? Tomorrow. Yeah, they start
tomorrow.
Yeah.
They only have a few, like a week or two left, and then they're going to take a little break before opening day July 11th for Saratoga up here.
All right. I do want to make mention to everybody out there ahead of time that Mr. Hardoon will not be with us tomorrow. He has a business arrangement there and an important one. So you won't be with us, but you're going to leave us a couple of picks for tomorrow, but you'll be back with us on Friday.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Correct.
So anyhow, what your thoughts about the closing at Santa Anita before we get something from you or a soapbox?
No soapbox.
No soapbox. No.
No,
we got to be fair about this. All of the criticism and all the things that Heiss has been doing there, and I still think that they still need to fine tune. But the proof is in the pudding. They had a hell of a safety record there at Santa Anita, irritating people a lot with their overcautiousness sometimes, but it worked out.
Yeah, I think Sunday they may have had like 10 vet scratch or something, so people couldn't have been happy about that. You know, they're overly cautious. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I guess in the long run it works out. And they should be very proud of that record. It really, yeah. You know, I mean, as far as records concerned, that was a hell of a successful meet. 99 point something, you know, without any breakdowns or anything. Yeah. What more could you ask for? All the haters have nothing to complain about, so... Good for Santa Anita.
Yep, and you know, it was a heck of a closing day on Sunday at Santa Anita. They really had some spectacular events happening as far as the outcome in the races, and it all came down to the jockey battle that was going on all day long with Juan Hernandez and Antonio Freixo. It came down to the last race, and Freixo in the last race trying to get a win with his horse Amor Hall. Did everything but jump off and pull the horse because he was very active on the horse. He couldn't get there, and he fell one short of Juan Hernandez, who won the riding title at Santa Anita. But Juan Hernandez, you know, had to have some winners on closing day at Santa Anita to pull it off, and he did.
Well, Juan Hernandez was probably the big favorite before the meet started. So give a lot of credit to Frisou because he hung in there till the end and he had a terrific meet. You know, he's relatively new to Southern California, but he is a terrific rider.
Yeah, he is. He's a very good rider, and it's going to be a lot of fun watching him apply his craft down at Del Mar. I'm sure he'll enjoy outside of the racetrack some of the amenities around Del Mar for the summertime, that's for sure. All righty.
You have some comings and goings, Ralph. Kazuchi Kimura will be going to Del Mar for the meet, which is, you know, usually stays in Woodbine. Yeah. And Frankie Dettori will be spending his summer in Saratoga. So that should be interesting here.
Yeah, those guys. Kimura is going to. He's been riding at Woodbine, but. He has flirted with Southern California several years now when Woodbine is off, when Santa Anita in the wintertime, certainly. And he has gotten a lot of, you know, backing from guys like Bob Baffert, who likes his riding, et cetera. So he's going to go down to Del Mar. He'll have a lot of fun there, as will Freixo. And as you say, Frankie Dettori will be doing these dismounts out of the winner's circle there up there at Saratoga. So that'll be a lot of fun up there, too.
Yeah, people here aren't familiar. Well, I'm sure regular players are familiar with him, but it's going to be entertaining for the everyday guy, you know, for the people that are coming up here for a vacation or whatever. And it's going to be something different for them to see.
Well, if you're mellow today with no soapbox, we'll get to a pick.
All right, let's look at Churchill Downs' ninth and final race at 7 furlongs on the main track. And I like the number 10 horse in here. Up on the Edge. This is a 3-year-old filly from the Rudolph Brissett barn. Rudolph Brissett is 5-for-16 at the meet. She gets a rider switch to Louis Saez, which I think is a big upgrade. She's had excuses in her last four races, Ralph. Last time out, she ran on the turf at Indiana. She didn't like it. Draw a line through that race. The race two starts back at Keeneland. She drew post 10 when the inside was the place to be. Three starts back, she ran on Tapita, so we could throw that race out. Mm-hmm. You go back four races, and she was last seen at Churchill. She ran very well that day. Returns to Churchill, draws a good outside box going 7 furlongs, 9-2 on the morning line. Number 10, Up on the Edge, wins today's ninth and final out of Churchill Downs.
All right, that ninth and final race has got a purse of $42,000 for $20,000 claimers. Boy, I'm going to tell you what. You can win yourself out in one race, in that equation, that's for sure. So number 10, Up on the Edge, I hope we'll be on edge and win. The 10, Up on the Edge, Luis Saez aboard, 9-2 on the morning line for the ninth and final race today at Churchill Downs, number 10. All right, and you get a full sheet for Churchill Downs today, right?
Correct.
Okay, and they can get it where?
JONHARDOON.com. Thank you, Ralphie.
All right, Jonathan, we will talk to you on Friday, and good luck at your meeting.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Be well and stay safe.
All right, you got it, my man. When we come back, we'll be going to Rich Ang standing by, and we'll talk a little bit about the goings-on in sports and certainly get a horse from him as well, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
Who is there for heroes or the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids in kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, t.org.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Alrighty, back on Race Day Las Vegas. Time to go out to Rich Ang. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
All right, now, we know that you're going to take a couple of days off, too, to take care of some business as well, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go on vacation this weekend, so I saw the temperatures are going to be like 111, 112 here, so I'm going to be in a lot cooler climates, but... you know, I know what it's like. It's going to be hot, so stay hydrated, folks.
All right, and certainly your handicapping will continue, though. You're going to do a Los Alamitos, correct?
Yeah, I'll do a Los Alamitos sheet, and I'll send it out, and I'll have a radio pick for you out as well as the sheet. So we'll hopefully knock off a few more winners this week.
Okay, Richie, the NBA Finals are final. Boston Celtics win it.
Yeah, Celtics were the better team. You know, I know they got obliterated in game four at Dallas, but I tell you what, in all the sports, whether it's professional or amateur, Ralph, when you play like a perfect game like Dallas did in game four, they won by like 40 points or something like that. It's very difficult to play two perfect games in a row, and Boston just put a beat down on Dallas. You could tell in the first quarter that this game was going nowhere for the Mavericks. So Boston, best team. They had a fantastic postseason, Ralph. I think they only lost like maybe three games the entire postseason, something like that. And they're the heavy favorite now for next year to win the NBA title. But folks got to remember, I don't think there's been a repeat winner of the NBA title in something like two decades. So right off the bat, they got to buck a trend. As far as hockey, National Hockey League, Stanley Cup, Edmonton, or a courageous win last night at Florida. So now they're down 3-2 with game six coming up in Edmonton. And Lord knows if they can win that, they'll put all the pressure on Florida in game seven. So Edmonton not going down without a fight.
All righty. And certainly I know that you must have a story or two about the Say Hey Kid, Willie Mays, who passed away at 93. What a player and what a life that man had. He will certainly be missed.
Yeah, if folks remember, Willie Mays ended his career, the last couple of years of his career, with the New York Mets in 1972 and in 1973, and he played in that World Series against Oakland. But, you know, Ralph, my story with Willie Mays goes back to, you know, all of us kids, when we were kids, should remember the very first Major League Baseball game they went to, because it's just such a great experience as a youngster. Mm-hmm. Mine was the 1964 All-Star game at Shea Stadium. The stadium was brand new, and the Mets were in their third year of existence, and I was just a little kid. My uncle took me and two other boys to that All-Star game at Shea Stadium, and the starting center fielder for the National League was none other than Willie Mays. So I had a chance to see him as a little tyke, and the National League won that game. Walk-off three-run homer by Johnny Callison in the bottom of the ninth. That's how much I still remember that game as a little boy growing up. But my first Major League game was that 1964 All-Star game at Shea.
Yeah, he did. He played his final year, as you say, with the Mets, but most of his career was with San Francisco, right?
Yeah, he actually started out with the New York Giants playing in the Polo Grounds before the team moved to San Francisco with the Brooklyn Dodgers. The Brooklyn Dodgers moved to Los Angeles, and the New York Giants moved to San Francisco. Ralph, you and I are old enough to kind of remember, you know, the transition. That transition occurred in the late 1950s, and we were really young back then. You know, those two teams were in New York City. They moved out to the West Coast and became wildly popular. Willie Mays thrilled New York fans. You know, there was a time in New York City when the three center fielders for the teams playing in New York were, it was like Joe DiMaggio and Mickey Mantle, Duke Snyder for the Dodgers, and Willie Mays for the Giants. I mean, that's as good as it gets in Major League history.
Well, you ain't kidding, man. That was a murderer's row type of lineup, that's for sure. But certainly, and, you know, with the passing of Willie Mays and, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Bill Walton, you know, when you get our age, we remember they are part of the memories of our lives, too.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, sometimes these things happen in threes, because we lost Jerry West, too. So you had Bill Walton, Jerry West from the NBA, Willie Mays.
Yep.
But, you know, a lot of the greats of our era, Ralph, you know, they're getting on in years. And unfortunately, death and taxes are two things that happens to everybody.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we're getting on in years, too, but that's another
yes, we are.
In any case, you'll be doing Los Alamitos, the handicapping for that, that's for sure. And I know that on days when Southern California is not running and you're on the show with us, you usually try to root out a winner somewhere on the racing schedule. So do you got a pick for us today?
I do have a pick, and also I just want to say hello to one of the viewers, Ralph. He watches us every day. He's a supervisor at a casino racebook that I went to yesterday morning, and he was very complimentary of you and all of the handicappers for the work that we try to put forth as far as live horses. So thank you very much for watching, and thanks for the compliments for all of us.
And you can go ahead and let us know where he was. Where he's at.
Okay. Race six, Finger Lakes, Ralph. It's an allowance race, a pretty good one, actually. And I'll take the third choice in the betting, the number six, Eric Ridge. This horse broke his maiden last time out. But if you take a look at the resume, this horse is running against much tougher, looking down to the Churchill, Fairgrounds, Keeneland races. I think this horse fits like a glove at Finger Lakes, that's for sure. Katie Davis, Jackie Davis riding for Carl Grusmark. 4-1 in the morning line. Let's go with the six, Eric Ridge, race six, Finger Lakes.
Okay, so it's easy to remember, Finger Lakes, race six, number six. Got to remember, everybody, about the adjustment in the post time there at Finger Lakes. It's starting earlier.
Correct.
It's starting earlier, starting at 8:45 instead of the scheduled time of, 10:10, but it's going at 8:45 now. So remember that. And this is the sixth race, number six, from Rich Hang, that's for sure. Well, Richie, we will let you go, and we'll talk to you, tomorrow. When you're not making the shows?
Yeah, I'll be on tomorrow, but then I go on vacation with Sandy for the weekend, so I won't be on the air Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.
All right, good enough, that's for sure. Are you taking a look at anything down there at Royal Ascot?
No, I haven't, other than, Wesley Ward is always live, you know, so I'm going to take a look at some Wesley Ward horses, maybe the pluck one or two of them.
All right, you got it, my man. Take care. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Rob. Good luck, everybody.
All righty, we're going to wrap up this first show of summertime 2024. It's officially summer out there, folks. And, of course, with Jerry Jackwood still on his sabbatical, we won't have anything from him today. But we're going to wrap up this show with John Lindo taking a look back at Santa Anita, maybe a thought or two about what's going on at Royal Ascot and what to look ahead when Los Alamitos starts on Saturday. So don't go away. We will be right back.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service. Bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB port to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Horse racing fans, the Southern California Thoroughbred Racing Circuit is back in beautiful Orange County. It's the LA County Fair Summer Thoroughbred Meet at Los Alamitos, with eight great days of racing starting on Saturday, June 22nd. First post, 1 p.m. Pacific. The opening day program will include the $100,000 Bertrando Stakes. Plus, the summer meet will include the running of the Los Alamitos Derby on Saturday, June 29th. We'll also have a holiday racing program on Thursday, 4th of July. Plus, we'll host our on-track handicapping contest on Saturday, July 6th. You could win a seat to the National Handicapping Championship in Las Vegas. Contest format and rules are available at losalamitos.com. The card will feature our biggest race of the meet, the $200,000 Great Lady M Stakes. And when the sun goes down, the fun continues with Night Racing's Best Bets, the Los Alamitos Early and Late Pick Fours, plus our traditional Pick Six. Daytime racing action is back at Los Alamitos. Opening day is Saturday, June 22nd.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty, back on Race Day Las Vegas. Time to go out to Southern California, and John Lindo standing by. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, my man. It's getting a little cooler here. The heat, that excessive heat pocket is now making its way to the East Coast and the Northeast, the big northeastern quadrant of the good old U.S. of A. And we know that the weather in Southern California is doing just fine as well.
It's really mild down here. We're very fortunate right here by the coast. So knock on wood, we'll stay the same and just waiting to see what happens at Del Mar. But we've got Los Alamitos this week. They took a while to get the entries done. They got the entries for Saturday and late yesterday, just waiting for the past performances to come up so we can get started working on the opening day card.
Well, I know that sometimes when Southern California has an abbreviated week of racing, you jump in and do another track or two with the Linda Report here at the South Point. So what's the schedule like this week?
Yeah, I'm going to do Aqueduct this week and next week, all racing days. So I'll do Thursday through Sunday Aqueduct in addition to Los Alamitos.
Oh, good.
Want to be up to speed when that big Saratoga meet kicks off in a couple of weeks.
And you'll start off with the Linda Report tomorrow with a carryover from Sunday.
Yeah, it's a good card tomorrow, and the weather's supposed to be good. It's going to be hot, but rain tomorrow. Looks like there might be some rain in New York on Friday.
Yeah, well, they'll be doing fine, though. It's the heat they have to worry about there, that's for sure. And, of course, John Lindo's Linda Report, when he publishes it every racing day, is right here at the South Point Racebook free of charge exclusively and complimentary here, and it will be here tomorrow for Aqueduct because they love horse players. It's really that simple. Well, we look back at Santa Anita, and all I can say is that safety record there is really something to be proud of.
Yeah, it is. 99.97% rate. That is unbelievable. So congratulations on that front. We had some blips in the screen as far as the weather in the winter meet. We had so many rainy Saturdays and had to miss some time there, but when we got through all that and the weather got better the second half of the meet, the field size improved, the percentage of favors went down, so it was a better wagering product for the horse players out there. And in general, the second half of the meet I thought was more fun than trying to get through that winter part.
Yeah, I guess they're going to try to alleviate those concerns and possibilities of cancellations when they come up next year by utilizing the inner synthetic racetrack. Hopefully they'll just do it when they need to do it and not to start scheduling it when they don't need to. And we'll wait and see about that, that's for sure. Hey, I got to tell you what, that jockey race was really a lot of fun to watch the last couple of weeks. But my goodness, Juan Hernandez won 10 races in a four-day span, Thursday through Sunday. He got one more win on closing day Sunday at Santa Anita, and that broke a tie because Antonio Freisu won a race as well. But with that one winner, Hernandez had one victory going into the final day. He got another victory to negate that one that Freisu had, and he wins the jockey title with one winner. Boy, that guy had a heck of a meet, didn't he?
Yeah, Hernandez was, you know, he was gone part of the time on the Triple Crown Trail, but he ended up with 36 winners, and he held off Antonio Freisu. And I heard you mention earlier, Freisu was riding Anmer Hall in the last race.
Yeah.
And he did everything but pick him up and carry him down the lane. He got beat ahead, but
yeah.
You got to love the effort he made to try and end up with a tie for leading rider. Those kind of things are fun to see. You can see how much it meant to him. I want guys with that kind of passion on my, you know, with my $2 down to the wire.
And Hernandez, I guess, was winning his leading jockey there, both for the Classic meet with 36 at the Hollywood meet. So he had 53 races and winning the Classic meet. So he won those two in a row. And he's won several of the titles already in Southern California.
Yeah, with Flavien Prat departing, it's kind of handed him the ball, and he's gone and he's run with it. We'll see what happens. You know, at Del Mar, again, you'll have a couple of new shooters. Kimura will be back, and Freisu is getting more and more established. And with the grass racing down at Del Mar, you know, Umberto Rispoli rides that course very well. It'll be a good jockey colony, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Not even a question about that. And, of course, when you just to put Phil D'Amato in the leader spot if they're going to run races on the turf a lot.
he's loaded, and like I said, the emphasis on the stakes races at Del Mar is turf. So expect Phil D'Amato to have another good meet down there. And you know Bob Baffert will show off a nice two-year-old or two. You know, he's already done it at the end of Santa Anita.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of looking forward to those races for two-year-olds when he has some of those horses that he has been showing off so far have been just running off the screen with the potential. At least, you know, you don't want to get too excited with one race, but boy, they've been winning races with panache, that's for sure.
Yeah, no photos for him.
No, that's for sure. But of course, before we get to Del Mar, we got a little bit of Los Alamitos going, and we got the Bertrando Stakes coming up on Saturday for the opening at Los Al. And of course, a very unique layout and a very unique time of year to be racing that little meet there. They call it the Los Angeles County Fair Meet. That's now being held at Los Alamitos, and with a weird configuration on the racetrack, etc. A lot of jockeying going on for these races.
Yeah, and you want guys that know that layout. You know, guys like Edwin Maldonado, Tiago Pereira, Kyle Frey is riding. I see opening day, so you're still going to have a lot of the top five, top ten jocks from Southern California, Santa Anita, and Del Mar over at Los Alamitos, but having a little knowledge about that course, where to move, you know, especially in that far turn, because it juts out, and then you still have a quarter mile from the far turn to the wire. You've got a long time to make your move down the lane.
And, of course, winners on closing day, the Cinema won by Final Boss, wire to wire for John Sadler, Juan Hernandez aboard there, a $4 winner. I guess his next stop's going to be the Del Mar Derby, so he's going to pass up the prep races at Del Mar and just go right from this race to the Del Mar Derby. And the San Juan Capistrano won by Planetario as expected, 340 for Dick Mandela and Hector Barrios. A nice win there, picking up that marathon, that's for sure. John, real quick, you've been taking a look at anything at Royal Ascot?
Oh, yeah, it's been terrific racing. And, you know, if you like to watch good horses run, we've got two Breeders' Cup winners coming up at 8:25. You've got Inspiral, who won the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf, against August Rodon, who won the Breeders' Cup Turf. That's a mile and a quarter. The turf is good to firm over there, so it's a real fair surface. And I can't wait to see it. It'll be these are two good horses. So I've got it on here running in my office, and as soon as we're done with this, I'll be watching that.
Yeah, it's the fourth race today at Royal Ascot, and it goes in about 25 minutes from the time we sign off, which we're about to do. And so that's on FanDuel TV as well. The winner of that race will have a Breeders' Cup winning you're in slot for the Breeders' Cup at Del Mar later on this year. But in the meantime, we'll wrap up this show by reminding everybody we will be back tomorrow as we start ramping up for the weekend here from Las Vegas on the Great Sport of Kings. In the meantime, John Lendo has one more thing to say, and he's going to say it.
Have a great race day, everybody.
It's Ralph Serrato at Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.gov.